This is KHOI Community Radio, where we explore the people, stories, and events in our seven-county listening area in central Iowa. I'm one of your hosts for today, Susan Franzen, together with my co-host, Paul Wearson. Hello, Paul.
Well, hi, Susan. This is the second Wednesday in December. Don't we usually have Leanne Harder coming in with her Story County report on the second?
Yes, we usually do, but she's too busy getting the video of yesterday's Story County Supervisors meeting ready for the website.
Well, why was that such a big job?
If you were listening to Local Talk and Heart of Iowa last week, you'd know that there was an important meeting of the Story County Supervisors to consider approval of a construction permit application for three animal confinements near Nevada. The applicants were three local farmers, the Henry brothers. On November 4th, there was a meeting of 90 people opposed to the CAFOs, and they all pledged to come to the Story County Supervisors meeting. And I came to see what the scene was, and I'm pretty sure those people were all there, plus a few others. Leanne, as outreach coordinator for Story County, had the responsibility for the live feed, so people could watch it on their phones out in the hall when they couldn't get into the room, and probably a YouTube video, which was what she was going to be working on yesterday and possibly into this morning. I don't know. I haven't seen it yet, but we can ask her about it next week.
So what about this week?
This week, we are having a different report from Story County, namely from Erica Place, outreach coordinator for the Story County Conservation. They have an unusual winter walk scheduled next week, and Erica offered to come on the air to tell us about it and hopefully to recruit some adult volunteers to help with it. Erica? We are glad you can be with us.
Yes, the Luminary Hike. Oh, my goodness, there have been so many people excited about this Luminary Hike. it was an idea that we had a couple years ago, but it didn't end up happening, so we tried again this year and got an amazing response. The original idea was to just have it next Tuesday, December 18th, but so many people wanted to come, and we got a waiting list so quickly that we had to expand the event to the 19th and the 20th. So we are going to have several nights of a really cool luminary hike out here at McFarland Park. And what it is just a self-guided hike around McFarland Lake, which is about a one-mile loop on a paved path. And the way will be lit with luminaries, which volunteers help us make. And it's, just paper bags with some cutouts and decorations and a little light inside. So it should be a really special, quiet, nice, serene walk around the lake, either by yourself or with a friend or whoever you want. And all of those slots have already filled. So it was amazing, the response that we got. Everyone wants to come to this hike. So what we've learned is that we'll have to do this again in the future.
So this will be an annual event from now on, Erica, right?
I sure think so, yeah. It seems to be something people are really excited about. And, it's easy enough for us to put on. We just got to get the luminaries out there, which is why I'm glad you've invited me on your show this morning, because we are very much needing volunteers to help us facilitate this event. Like I said, it's three nights next week, and in order to make the event really special, we want to have a fire and hot cocoa and all those kinds of fun things, and we're really hoping we can find some people in the community who can help us make this a success.
So now you have the needs for people on, it's actually Tuesday, December 18th, Wednesday, December 19th, and Thursday, December 20th, and you need some volunteers.
That's correct, yeah. I need two more people for the 18th, three more people for the 19th, and at least one more person on the 20th. And what that would look like is coming out to McFarland Park, which is located just northeast of Ames, and arriving at 5 o'clock in the evening. You would help with some setup, maybe checking participants in as they arrive. We would need help getting a campfire started and, remaining lit throughout the program. handing out hot cocoa, making sure people have checked back in when they finish the loop, and then helping with some cleanup after the event. So about 5 p.m. to no later than 10 p.m., I would guess.
Now, for those not familiar with McFarland Park, how do you get there?
Yeah, we are located...
Let's say I just blew in from Cincinnati, and I need to know where McFarland Park is.
You do need to know where McFarland Park is. It's a special spot. McFarland Park, so from Ames, you just take I-35 north to E-29, which is exit 116. And then you just go west to Dayton, turn north or right onto Dayton, and you'll travel just about a mile to get to 180th Street. Turn right there, and you'll run right into the park.
How many luminaries are there? Are they around the whole lake?
They are around the whole lake, and there are, I think, 300, about 300 of them. So it was a chore in itself just getting all the luminaries made, but we're all really excited to see them lit and just excited about how much excitement there is about this event. It should be really special.
Are these the true luminaries with the paper bags and the candles inside, or do you have something else?
They are paper bags, but in the interest of safety, we opted for just little LED lights that you can turn on inside. So it will still give the same effect, but we won't have to worry about wind blowing the candles out or bags catching on fire or anything like that.
And you don't have to go around and light all 300 luminaries before the walk starts.
Well, someone will have to go out and turn them all on.
Individually?
Which, yes, yep. So, again, why we need volunteers.
Yes, that's a very impressive volunteer chore.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and the day before, we'll probably get them all set, or not the day before, the afternoon before the first hike, we have some volunteers already lined up to physically place all of those luminaries. And, you know, each bag will get filled with a little bit of sand, too, so we don't have to worry about them getting knocked over or blowing around. So the setup will be interesting, but I think we'll have a good handle on it, and then we'll know exactly what to do for next year.
And you're assured there'll be good participation this year, right, Erica?
Oh, absolutely, yes. So we registration was required. For each of those evenings, there are a total of 40 slots, so 40 people could attend each of those evenings, and every single evening has filled. So 120 people for sure will be coming out to McFarland Park to experience the luminary hike.
And it says here in my material that if there's snow, you loan out snowshoes. Is that right?
Yes. Yeah. We have been watching the forecast. I don't think we're going to end up with a bunch of snow for snowshoes. But that's why we had set those registration slots the way we did, so we could make sure we had enough snowshoes if the conditions were right. But don't think it will happen this year. Hopefully next year. That would make it extra special.
Now, is this the first year of this walk?
This is the first year. We tried it a couple years ago. I think we wanted to hold it on Valentine's Day. And I don't remember now if we were canceled because of the weather. There was some reason we didn't end up holding it. But we had all these luminaries in the basement already made. So wanted to give it another shot, and boy, does the community get excited about this kind of stuff, apparently. So it should be awesome.
You don't want to hide your luminaries in the basement. That's hiding your light under a bushel. So I'm glad they're going to be out there around the lake. Remind everybody again about the days and times, Erica.
Yeah, so the luminary hikes are going to be held three evenings next week, the 18th, the 19th, and the 20th. If you're interested in volunteering, we would need your help each of those evenings, or one of the evenings if you can't come for all three, between the hours of 5 p.m. and no later than 10 p.m., so about a 4 to 5 hour commitment each of those nights. If you're able to help any of those nights or all of those nights, please contact the Story County Conservation Center. Our phone number is 515-232-2516, or you can find my contact information on our website, which is storycountyconservation.org. And my name is Erica Place.
Well, Erica, thank you. That's the Winter Walk, luminaries all around McFarland Lake out there at the park at 56461 180th Street, north of Ames. And so we're going to look forward to that. Hope a lot of people show up to help you out. Sounds like you're already filled with enough people to actually participate. And we'll probably check in with you after this to see how it went.
Definitely. We're hoping to get some cool pictures of the event, too. So stay tuned.
By the way, what time do the participants need to be there?
The participants, they have signed up for either the 6 to 7:30 time slot or the 7:30 to 9 time slot. And they should have received email confirmations about which one they're signed up for and when they need to be here.
Well, thank you, Erica Place, about the Winter Walk around McFarland Lake next week. Luminaries surrounding the lake. Probably it'll be visible from the space station. So good luck with that, and hope you have a great time. All right. Thanks, Erica.
In case you just tuned in, this is Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio, 89.1 FM. And we've just been talking with Erica Place, Outreach Coordinator for Story County Conservation, telling us about the Luminary Walk out at McFarland Park on December 18th, 19th, and 20th.
Well, it may be the cold weather, but the local papers have reported at least three new bakeries in our listening area. Something to file away for a winter road trip or two, I would say.
Yes, I noticed them too. The first one I saw was the Blue Lights Bakery in Madrid. The owner, Bethany Brewer, had been working for a baker in Madrid when he wanted to get out of the business. He was already had a full-time job and it was too much, and she'd been working for him, so he offered it to her. She dreamed of opening a coffee shop, so she renamed it Blue Lights Coffee House and Bakery in honor of the blue lights on the bridge on the High Trestle Trail. The Boone News Republican had a great front-page story on her.
And then a week later, the Nevada Journal, featuring a front-page story about Patty Kester, who had lived in Ziering for less than a year before deciding to start an in-home bakery to raise money for a future adoption. She had to get her home kitchen licensed as a commercial kitchen, and after that she started selling pies, cookies, rolls, bread at the farmers' markets and craft fairs. I guess you'd have to notice what was offered at these markets to find her.
Well, there's another one. In December, the Nevada Journal had another feature story about an in-home bakery. This one was in Nevada itself. Hannah Swanson decided to start a bakery when her full-time job was eliminated due to company restructuring. She started Hannah's Bakery in October and has already developed enough of a following to make it her full-time occupation.
Well, the only real problem with an in-home bakery is that you can't stop in for a cup of coffee and a roll.
That's a great lead-in for the holiday surprise I have for you. We're not allowed to have food in the studio, or I'd bring the treats I've been baking for the holiday that's happening tomorrow, December 13th. Wonder how many of our listeners know. It's Santa Lucia. It is a national holiday in Sweden, and we discovered that when our children were preschoolers and we had Swedish friends who introduced us to the holiday, which we've celebrated ever since. And we were actually in Sweden for December 13th.
Well, Santa Lucia. But Sweden, that's like Norway. It's a Lutheran country, so I don't know about the emphasis on a saint here.
I think the holiday is even older than Christianity of any kind, Catholic or Protestant. It feels pagan. The way it is celebrated is that a young girl, maybe the oldest daughter in a family, is selected to be the Lucia, and every family has a Lucia, and every workplace. And she wears a gold-colored crown wreath with several lighted candles and carries a tray with saffron bread and ginger cookies called pop peppercocka and actually mulled wine called glögg. And they have everybody in the country celebrates this. So these, and incidentally, in case you're worried about those lighted candles, they have now a lot of the wreaths with the candles that are plastic with probably now LED lights in them, but they were just battery powered when our daughter was Lucia in her nursery school. So that was a big, big day for us. But it's a very dramatic. Just imagine, this is a country where even in Stockholm, sunrise is sometime after 9 a.m. So all of these houses where these girls are carrying plates of goodies, usually first to their parents, and then many older children go out to their teachers and serenade their teachers with this haunting song.
Well, now, that's a beautiful song. Now, where does it come from, Susan?
It's a traditional song of the gondoliers of Venice. And I'll play a recording of a man with a British accent describing the legends surrounding Lucia. I don't know whether that will be any clearer to anybody, but at least you'll get some of the idea. So let's hear what he says.
December 13 isn't a date in Sweden, it's Lucia. On this day, two things are inescapable. A, it's cold, and B, it's dark. To fight the dark, light was needed. The Lucia tradition can be traced back to St. Lucia of Syracuse in Italy. No wonder Swedes celebrate her every year. According to old heathen and pagan myths, this was a night when evil dark spirits liked to roam and animals became possessed and started to talk. But as usual in Sweden, when it comes to traditions, the why is less important than the how.
Well, I do hope that animals don't become possessed here in Iowa, because my farm cats would finally lodge many complaints against Paul Wilson at the farm.
Well, and I have to add one more little note for our listeners. In case you ever wish to visit our website, you may know that we have a picture for every program. And the picture that we're going to have for this program will be my daughter as Santa Lucia, my 3-year-old daughter as Santa Lucia. It's my favorite picture.
Well, that's great. And now to change the mood a little bit and introduce our next guest. Let's play a Christmas song by John Lennon.
So this is Christmas, and what have you done? Another year over, and you won't just be gone. And so this is Christmas, I hope you have fun. The near and the dear ones, the old and the young,
a very Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. Let's hope it's a good one without any fear.
So this is Christmas, for weak and for strong, the rich and the poor ones. The world is so long, and so happy Christmas for black and for white, for yellow and red ones. Let's stop.
If you love the Beatles, we have a very special treat for you tonight at 7 p.m. The Local Talk spot on KHOI will be broadcasting a live concert from the Pantorium featuring the Beatles tribute band Rocky Raccoon. Greta Anderson spoke with a couple members of that band last week, and we'll play a few minutes of that interview now.
I'm here with Rocky Raccoon, a Des Moines area Beatles tribute band, who are coming to Ames, coming to the Pantorium building Wednesday evening, December 12th, from 7 to 8, to perform live in our studio and to be aired live over the radio for us. Welcome, Tom Murphy. Rocky Raccoon is your brainchild.
Basically, yeah. Yeah, it is. It's been a working process since probably 1978, so...
Goodness gracious. Okay, so tell me what inspired you to pursue the music of the Beatles as a musician. What inspired you to put together this band?
When it came down to the Beatles, it really is, a labor of love, because they were really the first rock and roll band I ever heard, because I was able to listen to them when they were still a band. I discovered them when they were still together as a band in 1968. And 10 years later, I was on a vacation with my mom in New York. And on Broadway, there was a show running called Beatlemania.
Oh, yeah.
Which was actually, I think, the prototype for all the Beatles tribute bands that are out today. And I went in to watch the show, and I went, okay, there's four guys on this stage. They're dressing like the Beatles. They're putting on the mop top wigs. They're doing costume changes. I went, this can be done. And I spent pretty much the better of 40 years trying to find musicians to actually do this. So
wow.
That's really the short of it right there.
Okay, and you're a bass player.
Yes, I am.
So talk about Paul McCartney on bass and how, why did a bass player end up having this role as the band leader and collector of musicians for a Beatles tribute band?
Well, bass is kind of a unique instrument in the band. We chain the rhythm instruments together with the melodic instruments. So it's kind of we get the full picture of the band. We kind of know all the ins and outs of where like the melody instrument should be sitting and all the rhythm instruments should be sitting as we're kind of like I said earlier we're chaining them together. So a lot of bass players wind up being musical directors, I suppose. And I think really the reason I wound up being a musical director is basically just because of the pure fact that of most of the musicians that I've worked with, I had the deepest knowledge of the music.
Mm-hmm.
So it was basically just going, okay, no, that part doesn't sound right. We need to adjust that. It was mainly just somebody has to have a say over how it's being played.
Okay. So back to your roots, you know, I'm just picturing you turning on the radio back when you were still a kid. And can you remember the song that was playing? Or
I do. I was brought up on a farm in northern Iowa, and the only thing I listened to on the radio was my dad's farm report, and he only played Johnny Cash, and my mom only played big band music. So they were down talking in the yard, and I actually was not supposed to touch the radio, and so I touched the radio and turned the dial, and the very first song I ever heard was the opening riff for Revolution.
Thank you so much, Tom Murphy, musical director of Rocky Raccoon. Hope you all can come down at Des Moines area Beatles tribute band, Rocky Raccoon. Come to the Pantorium building Wednesday evening, December 12th, from 7 to 8. Simply show up and receive our appreciation for your support.
I got Penny Lane as played by Rocky Raccoon. You want to play it for people?
Love the roundabout. The pretty nurse is selling poppies from a tray. And though she feels as if she's in a play, she is anyway. Shaves another customer. We see the bank is sitting waiting for a trim, and the fireman rushes in from the pouring rain. It's very strange. Penny Lane is in my ears and in my eyes. There beneath the blue suburban sky.
Penny Lane.
We hope to see you tonight at 7 for Rocky Raccoon. Now it's time for Points to Ponder with our KHOI celebrity, Maggie Westfold.
On my Points to Ponder for today, as December and holiday season get underway, I'd like to share some memories of Christmas from my younger years. We all have those holiday memories, I'm sure, and some of mine, maybe it'll take you back to your own Christmases. Before I get to memories, though, I'd like to say that I ponder with concern at how the retail side of Christmas has evolved in this country. I know I'm not alone. I hear all around me comments from those who are also dismayed, annoyed, maybe at Christmas appearing in the stores and on TV practically before we can get beyond Halloween. Thanksgiving has long been one of my favorite holidays, along with New Year's Day. Thanksgiving, because it's only about being with family, sitting together over a great meal and being grateful. And New Year's Day, because all the other holiday hoorah is in the past. And there are a couple of good football games to watch, and a pot of chili can be on the stove. And that's how my husband and I like to start off the new year. And I might even get my new calendar set up on that day. That's always a great fresh start. I was a lucky kid to be born 9 of 12 children raised in the countryside of Story County. My memories of Christmas are not so much overflowing with piles of gifts, but more so of times together with extended family, visiting and neighbors stopping by with special treats. My Auntie Perry from Ames made the most delicious divinity I've ever eaten, hand-whipped with a pecan perch, pecan half perched atop each scrumptious white piece. One year, she and Uncle Bert arrived in our kitchen carrying one of her beautifully put-together trays of delectable cookies and candies, and amongst them on the tray were clusters of grapes she had half-frozen and then sprinkled their moistness with granulated sugar. I've never had those sugary frozen grapes again, but I never forgot them. Our former neighbors, the McQuistons, one time came to our back door to say Merry Christmas and delivered a bushel basket draped in red Christmas bows and filled heaping with the most beautiful big red delicious apples. Don't you know, our family could have finished those off in a heartbeat, but Mom rationed one to each of us for Christmas, a Christmas treat, and then for as long as they lasted, there was one in our school lunch, home-packed school lunch, each day. In the years when my older sis Janie and I were in grade school, Janie was evidently beginning to question the existence of the great white bearded one in the red suit and the stories of his delivering gifts to children late on Christmas Eve. She must not have figured things out for sure quite yet, but because Janie being Janie, she could always be depended on to let me know when she had a secret but wouldn't tell me, which would send me to Mom, once again informing on my big sis, who kept secrets from me, seemingly on a daily basis. It was a thing between us. Until I finally got old enough to get what Mom always told me, that keeping a secret no one wants to hear is no fun. That if I could manage to not care, neither would Janie. It finally sunk in for this little sis, so Janie gave up that game. But that particular Christmas Eve, I have no memory of secrets. I'm fairly sure that what had happened was Janie was asking Mom a lot of questions about whether there really was a Santa Claus. We'd all eaten our Christmas evening meal, and all filled with anticipation, and Mom and my older sis Pat were clearing the kitchen of the meal prep and dishes, and you may have noticed I didn't mention leftovers. There weren't leftovers often at our house. More likely, there might have been a drawing of straws over the last portion of whatever might be left on the serving platter to see which of my brothers got that last bite this time. My dad was in his easy chair in the living room, relaxing and smoking his pipe, the aroma of George Washington tobacco wafting in the air. Kids were here, there, and everywhere as the evening wore on, when suddenly we heard at the front door the loud ringing of sleigh bells, a pounding on the door, and a loud, "Ho, ho, ho, Merry Christmas!" And then more sleigh bells. Exactly how it went after that, I'm not sure. What I see and hear in my memory is Janie's face, probably a mirror of my own. Shock, eyes wide, jaw dropped, and Mom says, "Janie, you'd better see who that was," as she reached for the door handle, pulled it open, and into the kitchen and all over the floor spilled a large gunny sack full of brightly colored wrapped gifts, all bedecked in bows. Janie's expression likely didn't change. I really don't remember. I do remember Mom's big smile and something like, "Who do you think that might have been, Janie?" Mission accomplished. Janie still believed. And Mom told that story over and over and over forever after. She'd enlisted Big Brother Chuck, 16, to sneak out the back porch where he'd picked up the gunny sack full of packages and made his delivery at the front door. Where the money came from for those gifts in the gunny sack is yet another story. My dad was a hard-working farm laborer, but extra money didn't just appear because the Lord's birthday rolled around. It was way up in years before I realized that it was my Aunt Helen Foley from my dad's younger sister who had made sure each Christmas that her big brother Mike and his pretty wife Alice had a little cash to make Christmas fun for their large family. Fun typically consisted of new pajamas, new box of colors and crayons and drawing paper for little girls, but we were delighted with whatever was in those packages. Helen had never married, so had no children of her own. She lived for many years with our Grandma Foley on Jay Avenue in Nevada. She kept a spotlessly clean home for herself and Grandma. When several of us came by to visit after Mass on Sundays, we were typically monitored by Aunt Helen as we sat on the couch, staring at the blue candy dish on the coffee table until she said we could each have one piece. We might eventually wander around the comfy living room a little, but if we loitered in front of the glass front secretary, we would hear, "Don't touch the glass, just look." These were a couple of the reasons that we sometimes, amongst ourselves, referred to Aunt Helen as Aunt Heppy, as she tended to be all hepped up about one thing or another all the time. But her heart was pure gold, and she wanted Mike's kids to have a nice Christmas many years in a row. We all came to understand that her fastidiousness was a minor trait, that the real, true Aunt Helen was an aunt who cared enough to give from her heart many times over. And in the spirit of giving that these Christmas memories have included, I'd like to remind you that fundraising is underway, listeners, at KHOI Community Radio. We can still use your help. If you have someone on your Christmas list who's hard to buy for, consider giving them a membership of for $55. If you find yourself constantly tuning in to 89.1 FM on your radio, think about becoming a member yourself. A sustaining membership can be yours for $250 each year. We're an all-volunteer operation here in the Pantorium Building at 410 Douglas. Come by and see what we're all about and get your membership while you're here. If you can call 515-292-2878 or text 515-200-7758. We appreciate any and all contributions to help us keep KHOI Community Radio on the air with no advertising 24/7. Have a wonderful holiday season, each and every one.
Well, now, Maggie, those were wonderful words, wonderful memories. You know, you seem to question the existence of the great white whiskered ones. And I'm worried. I wonder who's been eating the cookies that I leave out.
Well,
someone's doing it.
You
said 12 children. How many boys?
Five.
And that leaves...
Seven girls.
Seven girls. That just sounds horrendous, like the movies, Cheaper by the Dozen, you know?
Yes. My mother loved that movie for a reason, I think.
I think so. It was biographical.
Yeah.
You know, Christmas memories are wonderful. I have my favorite gift of all time. When I was a boy, my dad built an exact, and he did it in secret, you know. Of course, I was in school. I was fully employed.
Sure.
Anyway, he built an exact replica of our barn. And I had a thing. I played Joe Jonathan's Farm. And so I had a farm all laid out in the corner of the yard. And this was wonderful. It had a hinged roof so I could play with the animals and the farmer.
Wow, and, what a gift.
It was just beautiful, beautifully done.
Yeah.
And that may be my favorite gift of all time.
Did that gift survive?
No. You see, that's the problem. Joe Jonathan's farm was outside. And so it was outside all the time. And I deeply regret that I didn't take care of that. I did use it until it rotted away. And But, you know.
It lives in your mind.
Yeah,
your memories.
I can still see that. And it was so beautifully done. I don't know how he did that to keep it a secret, but it was truly a labor of love, and I really value that because it was so beautiful and painted red and green just like our real barn. And I just thought that was a wonderful gift and a wonderful thing for this man to do for me for Christmas. And, you know, all the things you say ring true about I had an Aunt Helen, too. I think everyone may have an Aunt Helen. And I know that the extended family is so wonderful at Christmas time because you have all your cousins and aunts and uncles and all the people who you may not see regularly during the year, mm-hmm. but they come together out on a farm or someplace where there's enough room for the children to play outside in the snow. And these are all memories that we all cherish about Christmas.
That's right. That's right.
Holiday.
That's really what it's all about. And I appreciate the opportunity to say thank you to her on the air. I'm sure there are some people who remember that woman from Nevada. She retired from Donnelly's in Nevada. She
Everyone worked
there
at
many
Donnelly's
years.
In Nevada.
Yes, they did.
That was a big
she
place.
She just was a loving lady, and I didn't always appreciate that to the extent that I should have. So I'm happy to get to say thank you to her.
Well, she had to monitor your behavior sometimes.
Yeah, we were horrible. No, actually, that was the thing. All we did was sit there like our parents told us, and it was kind of amusing.
So you were models of good behavior, and she didn't have to intervene that often.
No. She's afraid we were going to touch that break front glass. That was.
Well, I had a maiden aunt, too, Aunt Vernie. And she had a little cottage down by our original home farm, our family farm, the home place, we called it. And three or four families would wedge themselves into this little cottage because Vernie always hosted. She didn't have enough room. We could have had a beautiful Christmas just about a block away up the road to the big house. But no, Vernie had to host that. So we were all shoehorned into this small cottage.
Yeah.
And then there was Ludafisk and Lefse.
Oh, boy.
You know, that's a death wish for some people. But it was food and hot butter and Lefse. And I can still see my cousin Cliff with melted butter and fish running down his chin. And
yeah.
A glorious, almost orgasmic feeling of Norwegian food, just all the stuff you could eat. And we called them betas. You rolled fish and potatoes and butter into this potato cake thing, and it was like a burrito. And you would chew down on that, and all the stuff would run down your chin.
That is one of the first Scandinavian delicious things I ever ate. It was cod in my case.
Yeah, cod
and
frequently,
it
too.
It was an older sister who got married, and they introduced me to that, or our family to that fish. They called it fish and lefse. And, the more butter in there, the better. So it was probably, that was delicious.
Yeah, I just think that, of course, lefse and lutefisk were never one of my favorites. And Mom would make a big roast with brown gravy for us Americans.
I
think today seems to be the battle between Swedish and Norwegian food. And I vote Swedish.
Had kringla and krumkaka and rosettes. And these were traditional foods around the holidays, too.
Yeah.
And then my mom had these green little Christmas tree cookies, frosted green. I loved those. Mm-hmm. I just loved them. And I'd ate them in proliferation. I'd like to know how many of those I ate in my lifetime, probably enough to feed an army.
Right.
I can still see those frosted green Christmas trees with sprinkles on them and all lying in a plate that was brought out just for Christmas because it was a Christmas plate.
Uh-huh.
And Mom had all kinds of heirlooms. Of course, I live in the house I grew up in now. I retired from my career in Des Moines, and I have all Mom's stuff. And so if I were ambitious enough and talented enough, I could actually duplicate Christmas because I have all her decorations and everything.
Yeah.
All I need is about 15 bodies in the house.
Well, those are wonderful reminiscences, but there are people who can't celebrate that kind of Christmas, and there are people who are alone. And so this is a time when there are a lot of Christmas events, the kind that we've been talking about in past weeks. But tonight, December 12th, the night before Lucia, we have right here at KHOI a Pantorium session with a Beatles tribute group from Des Moines, actually. And there was a little program about them earlier this week and with an interview with a couple of the members of the band. So I know that they are really and truly from Des Moines, but they travel all over central Iowa. And in fact, they're going to be in full concert over at the Talent Factory in March 16th, I think. But For us, we have what we can only say on the air about a KHOI event, a free Pantorium session with Rocky Raccoon. And that is the name of this group. And
now that's tonight, is that right?
That is tonight.
What time do we gather for Rocky Raccoon?
Well, it's 7 p.m. Those people who want to listen into the morning local talk don't get to, because they're going to be broadcast at 7 p.m., which I think is one of the motivations for them to volunteer to come up and
So is this a live broadcast?
Live broadcast.
Right here from the Pantorium, right across from the Octagon.
Exactly.
And you can get a tattoo while you're waiting across the street, too.
So I have strong Beatles memories. I graduated in the mid-60s, so them coming to this country and all the rage is vivid for me. I am proud, though, to say that I never screamed about them.
You never screamed?
I could not. I was embarrassed for my girlfriends who did
that. Now, did you have a favorite Beatle?
I loved Give Me a Minute. I've lost my memory. Let's see. We have John.
Paul.
Paul.
Harrison, George Harrison.
It was George. In fact, yeah. I wish I had it with me. I have a poem where I talk about George, because I felt like he was always kind of ignored. Everybody else
was
raved about, and
he did
I felt bad
music,
for George,
you know,
so I made
man.
George my yeah. Beatle. Every time I think of, you know, we all, like everyone says, where were you when JFK died? When I heard the Beatles the first time, I was standing in our kitchen in front of this old stand-up radio, the ones that were like 4 feet tall, RCA or something.
Oh, yeah.
And out of that big box came this sound, and my mother said, "What is that?" And I said, "That's the Beatles." And the poor woman had to put up with that around the house for quite some time. But they were quite a novelty.
I'm just thinking about what your mother would do in response to rap music now.
Lord.
That would be because every generation has in fact, during October, we have a thing up in Randall, Iowa, called Ragtime and Randall. And that was ragtime from the early 20th century.
Uh-huh.
And at that time, parents thought that was dirty music and very suggestive. And so it seems like every generation is threatened. The previous generation is threatened by the music and the customs of the new generation.
Yeah,
whether it be 1903 or 1964.
We were also, as teens, we were also headed for the Satan was going to get us, because we loved to watch Elvis swing those hips. You know, he was allowed to be seen above the waist, right, or something on TV. It was we were pretty threatened by the strangest things back then.
Well, it's really ironic, because I said I was going to look up the next show at the Talent Factory, which is Johnny and Elvis Christmas show. So it's Johnny Cash and Elvis.
Two greats.
And they're going to be there on December 15th. And
that sounds like quite a show. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, so. Johnny Cash and Elvis, that's pretty hard. You know, that's... I have a lot of respect for Nevada. They're retrieving people from the grave.
But we're doing it first. So you can hear the Rocky Raccoon tonight, and on Friday, in a couple days, you can go down and hear Johnny.
That's a
and
lot
Elvis.
Of rock nostalgia in 1 week.
Yeah.
I think. You know, and these tribute bands, of course, they're a tribute to these bands and people who were such iconic personalities. And people who were changing the genre. They were people who initiated something new. Elvis obviously started something new. He was a new sound. He was a person who had his own monumental personality. And, of course, the British invasion, the Beatles, that was something that changed the whole industry. And they weren't just performers. They were writers and composers. So it was the complete package. And when you have a tribute band, that just shows how iconic the people were that they're paying tribute to.
And incidentally, this morning at 11 a.m., there is a show that we have every week called Mop Tops and the King.
Right.
And this is, we've had this for about 3 years. It's, and so listen in. It is really a fun, it's a fun.
And yeah, that's a regular show.
And they, there's so many songs, actually, they say they never, they have gone years without repeating a whole show. I mean, they repeat some songs, but of course, they can find some really obscure songs, and they also have a little patter about how the world is ending because you're listening to the Beatles and, you know, coming some of that stuff. But I think it's almost time to...
This wraps it up. Yes.
I think it is. I think it's time for... You've been listening to Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio, where we explore the people, stories, and events in Central Iowa. Paul Wearson and I, Susan Franzen, have been your hosts for today. Other voices you heard were Erica Place and Maggie Westfold, and, of course, from our wonderful recorded music.
Oh, well, you can listen to today's Local Talk show and any of our past Local Talk shows online at our website. That's khoifm.org. And there you will also find information about our guests, along with relevant links to today's stories. That's khoifm.org. There will also be a rebroadcast of this morning's show at noon, but at 7 p.m. tonight, we'll have a live broadcast of the Beatles tribute band Rocky Raccoon performing right here at the Octagon, not the Octagon, across from the Octagon, here at the Pantorium. The concert's free, but this would be a good time to make an extra donation to KHOI in recognition of the opportunity we bring to the community of Ames and surrounding area to hear a band of this quality, or on the radio at home or live at the Pantorium. We're at 410 Douglas.
Local Talk was engineered by Aladdin. Our theme song, Backtrackin', by Al Harris and Tom Richards from their CD, The Ballad of Kate Shelley. Other music you heard was Santa Lucia, So This Is Christmas by John Lennon, and Penny Lane by the Beatles tribute band Rocky Raccoon.
Local Talk is a radio production training workshop as well as a show. If you would like to join the team as a reporter, contact us at 515-292-2878, or contact us through our website. That's khoifm.org. Members, you can renew your membership today. Just look for the yellow donate button.
If you enjoyed the show, tell your friends. Remember, your participation as listener and your generous contributions are what make KHOI possible. Thanks for listening, and see you again on the radio.
Support for KHOI comes in part from the Ames Alternative Gift Market this Christmas season, available 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. on December 8th and December 15th at the Wheatsfield Cooperative Grocery, 413 Northwestern Avenue in Ames. This event is an opportunity to learn about and support charitable projects around the world as well as in our own community. Learn more at alternativegifts.org.